The big railroad strike appears to have been averted. I'm David Brancaccio. Freight railroads and unions representing tens of thousands of rail workers have for now averted a strike, which had the potential to drive up inflation further. Just hours before a strike deadline, the White House has just announced a tentative deal. Marketplace's Nova Sophos following this.
Yeah, David, not a lot of details about what's in the deal or the pair of deals that were reached, and they will still need to be ratified by workers. But we know what the final sticking points were. Workers were demanding better conditions, such as improvements in scheduling, making it easier to take sick time. The White House released a statement from the president this morning with some hints about what's in the tentative deals. The president said rail workers are getting better pay, improved working conditions, and peace of mind around their healthcare costs. That's from the president. And Labor Secretary Marty Walsh said the deal came about after more than 20 consecutive hours of negotiations.
So the White House and U.S. Secretary of Labor were involved here. The administration was clearly worried about new disruptions in supply chains.
Yeah, indeed. The White House was, in fact, making contingency plans to try to move cargo in other ways, air, truck. That's if rail workers had, in fact, gone on strike at midnight Friday. A strike would have caused serious disruptions throughout the economy. Some of that was starting to happen. Amtrak canceled long-distance routes. Railroad companies stopped some shipments of chemicals. Farmers were worried about getting fertilizer and grain. But the tentative agreements will avert more serious disruptions.
All right, Nova Safa, thank you. The Agriculture Department says it will triple what it's spending to reduce harmful emissions from farming. It'll be $3 billion from the Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities program for more sustainable farming and forestry. Marketplace's Savannah Maher reports.
This is the Biden administration's latest big investment in what it calls climate smart agriculture. So what exactly does that mean?
We're trying to figure that out.
Jonathan Coppice, an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois, says this grant program is part of the process. It received over 1,000 applications, and 70 have made the cut.
The competitive nature that's pretty intense in agriculture, in farming, amongst farmers, if we begin to concentrate it on these sorts of outcomes.
Then Coppice says we can find some new ways to reduce agriculture's carbon footprint. Right now, the industry is responsible for 11% of total U.S. emissions, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. Kathy Day is with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition.
There's a lot of potential to make up for agriculture's historical emissions.
But she says the industry has a lot more work to do to rein in its contributions to climate change. I'm Savannah Maher for Marketplace.
After the terrible Tuesday, the S&P index closed up 0.3% yesterday. But this morning, Dow and S&P futures are down in the 2 to 3/10% range. One way to prevent wildfires in the West is to put power lines underground. A bill to do that is awaiting the governor's signature in California, but not everyone is on board. Here's Marketplace's Lily Jamali.
Utilities already spend heavily on trying to prevent overhead power lines from causing fires, says California State Senator Bill Dodd.
All the utilities are trying to keep the trees from growing into their lines, from blowing into their lines. There's lots of money that's paid on maintenance.
Senator Dodd's district in the Napa Valley is still recovering from wildfires of the last few years. He says Senate Bill 884 would speed up permitting to bury the lines. Utilities that don't do so fast enough would face fines. Dodd says over time, undergrounding electrical lines would be cost efficient.
It would pay for itself in the long run because you wouldn't have to do the maintenance of the trees.
But some utility advocates aren't sure undergrounding lines would pay for itself.
If you could do it for free, it would be a great idea, but it's not free.
Joseph Mitchell, a consultant and utility expert in the San Diego area, estimates burying power lines costs between $3 and $5 million per mile. And California utility PG&E has a plan to bury 10,000 miles of its lines in fire-prone areas. Mitchell says he's concerned that the cost burden will fall on ratepayers who can't afford it.
People who have low incomes tend to pay a larger fraction of what they earn for electric rates than other people, and they're going to be impacted more heavily.
Burying power lines has come up in other parts of the country also dealing with natural disasters. When wind or ice storms take down lines, undergrounding becomes more appealing, says Larry Blank at New Mexico State University.
Because it seems as though the customers are frequently being asked to help with the recovery of costs.
Critics say in California, there are far more cost-effective approaches to reducing fire risk than undergrounding vast portions of its system. But PG&E, for one, is proceeding with its plans, and state lawmakers say the bill helps hold them and other California utilities accountable. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
And the founder of this program has died. Public radio hired Jim Russell in the late 1980s to figure out what a business show for the rest of us would sound like. He would become the longtime boss here. Among many other ventures, Jim had a hand in the creation of NPR's Morning Edition and Public TV's Newton's Apple with host Ira Flatow. He even hosted All Things Considered for a hot minute, but producing was really his thing. He wanted the crew here to speak like actual humans and avoid narrow casting only to the business and investment elite. I remember the time someone was leaning on Jim to reorient Marketplace toward the executive suite instead of toward you and I. Aim at Fortune 500 CEOs was the idea. I remember Russell's response, something close to, and if we're 100% successful, we'll have an audience of 500 people. Jim Russell was 76. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From AEPM, American Public Media.